3 o'clock hour of Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Don't forget, you still have about 32 minutes or so, not to put too fine a point on it, to text REDSEA, R-E-D-S-E-A, to 620-620, because at 3:35 this afternoon, we'll be announcing another winner, and that person will have 10 minutes to call in and claim their tickets for the home opener for the Arizona Cardinals this Sunday as they're taking on the Minnesota Vikings. And if you want to be there in person, the return to the REDSEA, text the word REDSEA, R-E-D-S-E-A, to 620-620. You'll also be registered to win the grand prize, an autographed Kyler Murray jersey, I should say, courtesy of Pristine Auction. The NFC West and the AFC West, too, after last night's wacky Raiders win over the Ravens.
That was crazy.
That was the craziest overtime. I tweeted out, this overtime is crazier than my freshman college roommate, who was crazy. I've told stories.
You have told stories.
Oh, I've told stories. He was crazy. I have no idea what happened. I have no idea where he's at right now.
You need to find out.
That I've looked for him. I'm gonna
hire somebody.
I'm not going to hire a private detective to find out what happened to my college roommate.
He was
nuts. That ending to that game last night was as nuts as my roommate my freshman year of college. But now AFC West 8-0, NFC or 4-0, NFC West is 4-0. George Kittle was on the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max show, and he said, man, this NFC West is loaded.
I've been saying that for a minute there, Max. NFC West, man, we got a lot of people out there, Cardinals got Kyler Murray, they got DeAndre Hopkins, they got Chandler Jones, Buda Baker, Rams have Aaron Donald. I mean, that's pretty good in by itself. And the Seahawks are always just bringing it with Russell Wilson. So, I mean, like, you got guys, everywhere. But at the end of the day, they got to go against our defense and Nick Bosa and Eric Armstead and Fred Warner. And, we have a lot of guys in there that can make a lot of plays, and I think our offense is going to continue to keep rolling. And the one thing that we do better than I think anyone else in our division is run the damn ball, and that's what we're going to continue to do and, be violent and be physical every single week.
I'm going to use my second boxing analogy today.
Usually,
oh, wow. I'm going to use my second one. You know what the NFC West is? The heavyweight division in the 70s. You had Muhammad Ali. You had George Foreman, you had Joe Frazier, and you had Ken Norton. Like, you had these four, like, they could all kill each other. Mm-hmm. Like, they could all, Frazier could beat Ali could beat Frazier, Foreman killed Frazier. I mean, I never seen a guy got lifted off the, Foreman hit him with an uppercut, and he literally lifted him off the air 4 feet and knocked him down. But then Ali beat Foreman. That's what the NFC West is. And the other divisions are like the middleweight division and the, the cruiserweight division and the lightweight division and the bantamweight division. The NFC West is the freaking heavyweight division in the 70s. You got four guys that were all capable of beating each other. I mean, Kenny Norton broke Muhammad Ali's jaw. You have, like, you know all of these guys.
Of course.
Four superstar heavyweight fighters all beating the hell out of each other. That's the NFC West.
That is the NFC West. And that, if I'm being honest about it, what was so encouraging about what the Cardinals did on Sunday. And I know that wasn't an NFC West team they played, and they won't play one for a few more weeks here. But what was encouraging about that win to me was clearly the Cardinals possess the tools to be able to hang in this division. Going on the road and beating a really good Tennessee Titans team like that on the road the way they did, I think is an indicator that the Cardinals can hang, can compete, can
so are, the Cardinals
are not
more
overmatched.
Like, are the
this.
Cardinals more like Ali, Frazier, Foreman, or Norton?
Well, I would leave that analogy to you because you're more familiar with those. I don't know. That would be you. Don't ask me. Ask yourself. I don't know the answer to that. I know in this division, the one team that might have more questions about it than any of the others is now San Francisco. Raheem Mostert announced today that he's out for the season.
Yeah.
He's
big
okay.
Blow.
At first, it was going to be thought that he was going to be gone just for like 8 weeks. He was probably going to miss both of the Cardinals games. He announced today on social media that his season is done. He's going to have season-ending knee surgery. So for the 49ers, they're already down a corner. They're already down a running back. It's going to be real work for Kyle Shanahan, I think, to avoid the here we go again mentality from setting in with the 49ers because this is all they dealt with last year. I think Seattle, maybe a little bit better than we thought. I'll believe the demise of Seattle when I see it. I mean, they're good for 10 or 11 wins, seems like every single year, and they looked awfully good against the Indianapolis Colts.
Seattle might be Joe Frazier. They just keep coming at you, and they keep coming. They're just always there. They're just always right there. They're right there. They've got their chin right there in the middle of your chest, and you can't shake them. You want to, but they're just always right there. So I'll give Joe Frazier to Seattle.
Okay. The NFC West, have you figured out the other ones yet?
The Rams might be.
The Rams have got to be Ali, right?
Probably.
The Rams are.
They got the offense and the defense. And so then the Cardinals are either Foreman or the best punch. Who's got the Cardinals with that offense? They might be Foreman, right? With that
you're the boxing guy.
Punch.
You're supposed to. What are you asking me for? You're supposed to know this.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm just giving. Like, it's tough. I mean, if you had to. Give me a good poll question. Put the four fighters together into four teams. Which team is which fighter?
Hmm.
What? Well, it's a good one.
Okay, if the boxing guy on the show can't even answer the question, our audience is going to be able to answer that?
Well, I mean, everybody's going to have a different thing. I can make a case that the Cardinals could be Ali, right? Because there's good offense and good defense there. You know, Ali took a lot of punishment. But he kept on coming.
You asked yesterday, and I found it. And that would be in the all-time history of the NFL, the best divisions. What's the best division in NFL history?
Yes.
Okay. I found it.
Good for you. Look at you.
And because you wondered yesterday, now you were looking at total wins. Like, you were trying to figure out what's the most wins a division
has ever
compiled,
yes.
Right? Okay. Well, it's kind of a tricky answer because up until 2001, each division had five teams in it. There was no NFC South, there was no AFC South,
that's true.
Right?
It's true.
There was just...
Hard to do it then.
Okay, so
it's not comparing apples to apples.
Right. If you're going to go the most wins, I'll tell you right now, the 1984 AFC West racked up 51 wins. That was the Broncos with 13, the Seahawks when they were in the AFC West with 12, the LA Raiders with 11, the Chiefs with 8, and the Chargers with 7. Mm. But if you're going to go by win percentage, which is probably a little more accurate because the divisions have changed numbers, the 2007 AFC South was the best division in NFL history with a 656 win percentage. And three playoff teams. The Colts led the division at 13-3. The Jags and the Titans each finished with double-digit wins at 11-5 and 10-6. Very close to that, the 2013 NFC West, which had exactly the same win percentage, but only two playoff teams and not three. That was the year that...
What did the Cardinals do that year?
The Cardinals were 10-6 and just missed the playoffs. That was year one of Bruce.
Oh, that's right.
It was year one of Bruce.
10-6 and missed the playoffs.
Yep. They just missed it right at the end.
Okay.
That was year one of the Bruce Arians run. The next year they would start 9-2 and then lose Carson
656
Palmer.
Winning percentage.
656 winning percentage. That is the two all-time best when it comes to the division.
So now we're going to have to figure out, I'll have to just do it this, you know, what if one team wins 13 games, another wins 12, another wins 10, and another and two win 10. I wonder if that could add up to better than a better winning percentage than 656.
Give it to me again.
13-4, 12-5, 10-7, 10-7.
I'm not going to be able to add this on the fly. I know that I can
say
that.
Right, you're like our scholar. Like, you went to three colleges here, and you went to NAU and Arizona and ASU, and you were almost in the National Honor Society. If you
that would be a
plagiarizing.
45-25 record.
45-25. I don't know if that gets it done or not. You got a handy dandy calculator there?
Of course I do. Okay.
13-4, 12-5, 10-7, 10-7.
It's a 642 winning percentage.
Oh, it's so close.
It's a 642 winning
percentage. So that's not bad, though. That's like right there.
That'd be right
there. That's right there.
That'd be right there.
One more win may do it.
Yeah.
That'd be 11, and a 10-7 turns into an 11-6, and then maybe it doesn't.
I have a feeling one of these teams is going to be the weak link. I just can't figure out who it is yet. One of these teams is not going to get to double-digit wins.
Yeah,
I just don't know which one it is.
I wanted to say Seattle, but...
I don't know if it's going to be them. San Francisco, maybe with their injuries. We'll see. When we come back, Looks like the Bengals didn't give the Cardinals much help for this Sunday, at least in terms of helping the Cards figure out what Patrick Peterson is going to look like. We'll tell you why next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
I imagine we're going to be talking about this a lot this week. Here comes Pat Pete.
You know, Mac, I really don't know, but honestly, at this moment and at this time,
yep,
the regular game.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
Regular game. Regular game, says Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, these guys say that all the time. Nobody believes them.
Of course not.
Believes you. I mean, it's not a regular game. And this is the team, like, you know, you did so many great things here. I mean, how many times was your Pro Bowl player?
Eight-time
Pro Bowl player. Which, by the way, wouldn't trade any of those Pro Bowls for a Super Bowl ring. He cares more about the Pro Bowls than a Super Bowl ring. But it's Patrick Peterson against your old team, man. It has to mean something.
Sure.
I mean, you know, when J.J. Watt goes up against the Texans, when DeAndre goes up against the Texans, when you play your former team, you say that because you don't want people to know how much it really means to you. But, man, there's that extra juice. There's that extra juice. You want to show them. You want to. Some guys admit it. Luis Gonzalez, why'd you sign with the Dodgers? Because I want to play the Diamondbacks and beat their ass. Like, I mean, some guys admit it. Yep. They embrace it. Like, you know, I want to play them, so I'm going to sign where I play them the most. Patrick Peterson's not being honest with you. Nobody believes him, but that's what he's going to say. It's just another game. It's just another. We got to get a win. We lost last week. It's just another game on the schedule. But, man, he's been talking about the Cardinals ever since he left.
If you're going to look at what happened against the Bengals, okay, and it's just 1 week, so it's kind of hard to gauge for sure what this means going forward.
Okay.
Patrick Peterson had one tackle, allowed three catches on four targets for 75 yards, according to Pro Football Focus. He ended up with a grade of 61.6, which isn't great. It's fine. It's not that bad. He was overshadowed by how so dreadfully awful the other two cornerbacks were,
yeah.
Bashaud Breeland and Mackenzie Alexander, that by comparison, Patrick Peterson ended up looking okay in the secondary. One, because he wasn't targeted a whole bunch.
Nope, they went after Breeland the entire game.
Yeah, number two, because the other guys were so bad that yeah. Peterson ended up looking okay in that game, at least statistically speaking, compared to the other two.
No, Breeland got scorched. Jamar Chase just ate his lunch, you know, all day long. So, I mean, he was having, you know, issues tackling and blowing coverages. And, you know, people saying, was he hurt? What was it? But clearly they went after Bashaud Breeland and decided not to go after Patrick Peterson at all. The Bengals didn't really throw at Patrick Peterson much. They targeted Breeland eight times, and he gave up five completions for 107 yards. Now, the Vikings played Patrick Peterson exclusively on the right side and Breeland exclusively on the left. And that's probably what they're going to ask them to do. So Pat Pete figures to see more of each team's top target split out wide. Though, you know, we'll see if the Cardinals decide to line guys up a little bit differently or not. If the Cardinals got a D-hop and they got, you know, A.J. Green, they know Patrick Peterson really well. Pat Pete had one tackle, and he allowed three receptions on four targets.
Yeah.
So they targeted him four times, and he did give up three receptions for 75 yards. But they went after Breeland a lot more.
They did. Pat Pete, and whether he met you, and you bring up a really good point, if he's exclusive to one side of the field, I mean, of course, the Patrick Peterson we know when we loved Patrick Peterson was the guy that you would put on the other team's version of DeAndre Hopkins and say, go shut him down. And at his best, that was Patrick Peterson at his very best, right? At the very prime of his career, what a weapon it was to have, to be able to have such a top-flight cornerback, to be able to say, there's their number one receiver, you're on him all day, eliminate him from the game
glue.
Plan. And at his very best, and this is why Patrick Peterson, I know it's a complicated legacy, but man, I think about the glory years of Peterson, and for those glory years, he was so good at that. He was so good at eliminating the other guy's best wide receiver. If they just leave him on one side of the field, it'll be curious to see how many times he's actually matched up with DeAndre Hopkins. And he talked about that. Again, that soundbite I played a second ago was from the All Things Covered podcast. Here's him again on the All Things Covered podcast on D-Hop.
D-Hop is a very, very talented receiver. He obviously don't drop many balls at all.
No.
He's going to catch it. You know, a great 50-50 ball type guy. You know, if the ball's in the air with the 50-50 opportunities, it's a good chance that he's going to come down with it. Sometimes when you have a guy like that, you just have to be on your P's and Q's for 60 minutes because, at any given time, anything can happen.
I just don't know if Peterson is at that stage in his career where he's going to be on DeAndre Hopkins for 60 minutes of that game. I'll be curious to see how it all works out on Sunday. I don't think he's at that stage where they're going to ask him to guard DeAndre Hopkins wherever he goes and shadow him. I just don't know if that's Peterson's gig anymore.
Okay, but can you afford to have Breland or the guy who replaced him, Chris Boyd, on DeAndre Hopkins? There should be a gigantic talent difference between DeAndre Hopkins and A.J. Green, your number two receiver.
Should be. Yep.
There should be a gigantic talent there. DeAndre Hopkins is either the number one or number two wide receiver in the NFL. Is A.J. Green in the top five?
No.
Top 10?
No.
Top 20?
No.
Top 25?
No.
Top 30? See what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, there's a big difference. If Patrick Peterson is your number one cornerback, if he's truly your number one cornerback, you're paying him $8 million, you put him on DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. But if you remember what Patrick Peterson, the reason why he chose the Vikings.
He likes one side of the field.
Because Mike Zimmer has this reputation of being to kind of like rehabilitate cornerbacks and make them better than they were. And that might be what Patrick Peterson's new gig is, staying on one side of the field. You know, and just, okay, I'm responsible for this side. I'm not responsible for this guy. I'm responsible for
this. So you're going to leave a guy who's not nearly in the same category as you to go cover DeAndre Hopkins?
I'll be honest with you. I think DeAndre Hopkins eats both of them up.
Oh, I do too.
Whichever option it is. Whichever option it is. I don't think there are great options here for Minnesota when it comes to that receiving core. I really don't. I mean, especially if their cornerbacks outside of Pat Pete are going to be that bad. I don't think they're great options, which either Pat Pete one-on-one exclusively with D-Hop or Pat Pete playing on one side of the field. I don't think either one of those, the outcome is real great
for
Minnesota.
Okay, but if you're going to fight a lion, right, you got to choose. Do you want to put a zebra out there to fight a lion? Or you want to put like a hyena out there to fight the lion? Give me the hyena. He'll battle.
Is Patrick Peterson a hyena in this metaphor?
Well, I was trying to come up with two animals to fight a lion. The zebra's got no chance, which is probably Breland, and the hyena's going to lose too, but at least the hyena you expect the hyena to battle a little bit before he goes down.
I don't know. I think you need to watch more Discovery Nat Geo documentaries.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure the hyena lion matchup.
I thought that was pretty good. What else?
The hyena's just going to laugh the whole time. That's the problem.
No, those things are vicious.
The hyena's just going to laugh and go do a podcast with his cousin 3 days later. That's all. That's
the podcast.
Pretty
good damn analogy or something like that.
Like what other safari animal could I have chosen?
I don't know.
Dingo?
A dingo?
Or a cheetah? Did you say cheetah already?
No, I went with the hyena.
Yeah. I don't know the proper safari animal to use here in your metaphor.
What was the pig in The Lion King? With the
Pumbaa?
What kind of pig was it?
Wasn't it a warthog?
It was a warthog.
A warthog. Yeah. Are they not like a javelina?
I'm going, listen,
I don't care what you say. I'm going with the hyenas. Those things are nasty, and they fight. They fight. They're not afraid. They'll fight you.
When we come back, we talked about the success of the wide receiver room yesterday without the presence of number 11. How did number 11 feel watching the game from the couch rather than the sidelines? Or rather, was he on the Peloton? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Burns and Gambo here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Gambo, how did you spend your week one Sunday watching NFL games? Paint a picture for me. Paint a picture for our audience. What did it look like at the Gambo house watching football on a Sunday?
10 a.m. Cardinals.
Okay.
Then I got done with Cardinals. I probably worked for an hour or so.
Okay. Couch, office, living room.
You know what I do now?
Backyard?
I go to the office.
Okay.
Because it's too comfortable on the couch and my back ends up hurting. So like I'd rather sit in an office chair. Sit on the couch with, like, you know, the recliner up. And because, you know, we have to write down all the plays and all that. It's a lot different than just sitting on the couch and watching.
Keep
it.
Real careful track.
Yeah, I go in the office, got the chair, got the desk, the TV, and just do it there.
I was similar. I was in my home office.
I totally need to remodel my office. I got to find out who does office remodels.
I bet you're going to get 5 tweets in a matter of 60 seconds from people who will be
badly
more than happy to have you hire them to remodel your office. Here's how Larry Fitzgerald spent his first Sunday watching games in the NFL for the first time in 18 years.
Okay.
Potato now? What are you eating during the game when you're taking this in?
I definitely want to consider myself a couch potato. But it was fun to be able to get a chance to watch a few of the games around the league. It was great, you know, to see the high flying acrobatic catches and some of the unbelievable defensive plays, you know, by, TJ Watt, you know, I mean, it's just some phenomenal players, and to be able to get a chance to watch it, you know, kind of in depth from a distance is fun.
So you're not eating during the game?
Not the same things you're eating, Jim. That's for sure.
What are you eating?
Usually I'm having a smoothie, doing some crunches, you know, riding a Peloton, the normal stuff that anybody would be doing when they're watching a football game.
Hard-hitting journalism, right? That's why Jim Gray is the best. That's why Jim Gray is the best at what he does. I mean, that is why he separates himself from so many others in this industry with that hard-hitting journalism
Come on. Smoothies and a Peloton on a Sunday afternoon.
Who cares?
We need to have a class for Fitz on how to be a fan in the NFL. Nobody eats smoothies and watches from a Peloton on a Sunday afternoon. It doesn't work that way. That's not how it works. You're on the couch, chips, dip, frosty beverage, and there's no exercise allowed.
What's wrong with being on the Peloton?
None whatsoever. That's not how it works. Were you on a Peloton? No.
No, we just ordered one, though.
Oh, did you really?
So I might be soon. It's not a bad way to...
off. I got to rush for that.
you got $400 off?
They're offering
$400 like every 5 days. So, no, I don't really have the money for that.
Yeah, I didn't know it was.
I think they're offering a discount right now on the Pelotons. Well, you might be able to sit inside the stadium.
Return of the Red Sea.
It is Return of the Red Sea, which means it is time for our Return of the Red Sea winner, Jessica Thomas from Casa Grande. You have 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870. Get your tickets for the Cardinals home opener. Qualify for the autographed Kyler Murray jersey. Jessica Thomas from Casa Grande. You have 10 minutes to call. Now, if Jessica doesn't call in 10 minutes, we'll open up the phone lines to somebody else. And if you didn't hear your name, you can still win by texting Red Sea to 620-620. Listen for your name tomorrow in the 7 a.m. hour. But for the next 10 minutes, our designated winner is Jessica Thomas. You have 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870. Good luck to you, Jessica. On to more serious matters for Fitz. He was very happy to see the Cardinals dominate the way they did.
I was elated, man, to see them playing that well, to jump out in that big lead, and to see Chandler get to his 100 sack, to be the dominant defensive player and front runner, defensive player of the year right now was fantastic. And, you know, to see Kyler be able to beat them with his feet and his arms, and it was a decisive victory, and a great team victory. So I was happy to see him get it done.
Let's Go show on SiriusXM.
Yeah, I think he's sincere about that, because like, I always wonder about that. When a guy leaves, do you want the guys that are replaced, do you want them to have success, or do you want them to struggle and kind of be like, oh, do you miss me? If the Cardinals go on to win a Super Bowl this year,
yeah.
It's got to sting a little bit. It's got to sting. It's got to hurt. You know, Don Mattingly was such a great Yankee for all those years. The year he retired, they won the damn World Series. Mm-hmm. And then they won five of them with Derek Jeter and those guys. But, man, it's got to hurt. Like, it's got to hurt. So I do think he's sincere, because he was such a great teammate, and he's friends with those guys. You root for people. You want those guys to do well. But there is a part of you that just asks the simple question. I mean, does it sting a little bit to see them have success and you're not a part of it?
Yeah, I would think, like, with 95% of professional athletes, they would not be being honest when they would give the answer that Fitz gave. You know, you've been around a lot of professional athletes, so have I. And usually there's a lot of egos involved. There's a lot of, they're very defensive about their legacy, what they accomplished, what they did. And I don't know if they say, oh, yeah, I'm really happy for him. I'm really rooting for him. I don't know how many of them would be sincere.
I don't think that Charles Barkley for all those years was ever rooting for the Suns team.
Because he didn't
to go
want
further than he did.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've believed that, too. And I believe that a lot of professional athletes feel the same way. I think with Larry, it's legit. Now, I would love to know what Larry, and if we had Larry sitting here in this studio right now, I would love to ask him about what Kyle Odegaard wrote yesterday, that the offense has a chance to really be free because Fitz isn't in the slot anymore, that because Rondell Moore is there. And that was the, remember, it was the brave take. That was what Dan Bickley labeled as the brave take yesterday.
That's correct take.
From Kyle Odegaard, who used to write for azcardinals.com. I know Larry Fitzgerald is an icon, he tweeted, but the Cardinals were hamstrung with him in the slot last year. Now that Rondell Moore and Christian Kirk are there, Cliff Kingsbury's scheme can flourish. I would love to know if your favorite Jim Gray asks Fitz something like that during his appearance on that Let's Go radio show, because I would love to hear what Fitz has to say.
No, there was even a story, a fan-sided story today. Larry Fitzgerald could be the answer to the Patriots' wide receiver problems. Like, this is going to still come up. Here we are.
Sure.
Here we are, the middle of September, and it's like, there it is. There's a story. Fitzgerald said he wants to retire a Cardinal, but playing for Belichick could give the former wide receiver the ring he deserves. Honestly, I mean, after week one, I think the Cardinals are closer to a ring than the Patriots are. I mean, seriously. But I still think that his name is going to come up when guys get hurt,
that's
and wide receivers get hurt.
That's it.
His name's going to pop.
When guys get hurt, and I'm trying to think back to like the week one injuries, were there any wide receivers on the list? Were there any significant wide receivers who got hurt in week one? I know Akuda's.
I think there was. It was one of the young guys that got hurt.
Jerry Judy. I think he's just 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah. Jerry Judy got injured. He's
nothing,
out for a while.
Yeah, nothing against Jerry Judy. Yeah,
he's on injured reserve.
I think and he's going to be out like 4 to 5 weeks. I think he's when, maybe not Judy, but every time a wide receiver goes down.
It would have to be with only a limited number of teams for him to even think.
Sure, and the Broncos
right?
aren't a contender for
Vikings,
a Super Bowl. Sure. To me, it's got to be a contender for a Super Bowl. And I know the Vikings are his hometown team, and maybe he would consider them. But like for the Broncos, with Judy being out, the Broncos are going to win a Super Bowl, you know? So I don't think he'd consider them. But if a team with Super Bowl aspirations or Minnesota loses one of their wide receivers and Fitz is healthy and in shape and ready to go, yeah, there will be a ton of speculation that they'll call Fitz.
Tampa
to
Bay,
see if he wants
Kansas
to come.
City,
sure.
Teams like that lose a wide
Green
receiver.
Bay,
yeah, maybe they call Fitz.
Yeah,
possibly. I don't know. I mean, you are going to get to the point where, okay, if you signed him now, is he going to be able to ready to play on Sunday? No, the next Sunday probably not. I mean, need some time. You're going to get to a point where it's going to be too late. You get to halfway through this season. And it's that's it. Like, you know, you don't need to talk about it anymore. There comes a point where there's not enough time for him to get ready and get in football shape to help somebody.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show.
He is on that Peloton during the game.
Oh, well, stop it.
It's true.
Nobody watches an NFL game eating smoothies and riding on the Peloton.
I've watched NFL games on the treadmill.
You're doing it wrong.
Why?
Because it's a day of rest. It's Sunday. You're supposed to relax. Take it easy.
I've watched games on the treadmill.
Clay Helton got fired yesterday by USC, and the list of names potentially to replace him make it obvious. They're swinging for the fences in Southern California. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Return of the Red Sea.
All right, Jessica's 10 minutes are up. She did not call. And a thumbs down from Mitch on the other side of the glass, which means caller number 10, you are going to go to the return of the Red Sea home opener for the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday afternoon against the Minnesota Vikings. If you are caller number 10 at 602-260-9870, 602-260-9870. Jessica did not call in, but you can still register so that you can hear your name. Text the word Red Sea, REDSEA, to 620-620. The next opportunity will come tomorrow morning with Bickley and Murata in the 7 a.m. hour of the show. So good luck on being caller number 10. Get signed up, and maybe your name will be the one called during Bickley and Murata tomorrow at 7:35 a.m.
Can you sit at Bickley and Murata, 7 a.m.?
The hardest, Bickley and Murata, it's easy for me to say because they've always been Bickley and Murata. It just, or in a different time slot. I'm still, the Wolf and Luke thing is still.
I know.
Right? It's.
It's like, what are you doing here? And it's like, should you be home sleeping? Why are you
Well, Wolf,
right now?
I know he's walking around and everyone's just not used to seeing him this time of day. So still getting used to calling it that. over the course of all the changes we've had here over the last week and a half or so. The big news out of college football kind of came down with about an hour left in our show yesterday. Clay Helton got fired. A $10 million buyout, and USC, Mike Bone, the athletic director there, who had no previous ties whatsoever with Clay Helton, he basically inherited him, had decided enough was enough, and losing to Stanford the way they did in that embarrassing fashion is not what he envisions for USC football. It seemed like this was inevitable for the last two or three years, just wondered how much longer he was going to last. And it's pretty obvious USC is going to want themselves a very big name for this job.
Yeah, I saw an interesting thing. USC by starting quarterback under Clay Helton. With Sam Darnold as the starting quarterback, they were 20-4. 20 wins, 4 losses. Everybody else, 20-16. But when you really break it down, it's that it's the games he lost and the teams that he lost to. Like he had 46 wins and 24 losses. It's a pretty good win percentage in 6 years. But it's the games he didn't win. Like, you know, he lost 4 times to Notre Dame. He lost 4 times to Stanford. He was 1-3 against Oregon. Now, he had a good record against UCLA, 5-1. But 4 losses to Stanford, 4 losses to Notre Dame, 1-3 against Oregon. He just didn't win the big games. He didn't do a good job of beating the better teams in the conference.
Well, and let's call it like it is, too. It's not just about how you handle the in-city rival or how you do in the conference. At USC, it's about championships, right? It should be. I mean, with a program that can basically get just about any player it wants in college football, recruiting out of that Southern California power base. I heard Luke, I was actually speaking of the Wolf and Luke show. I heard Luke talking about this, and he's absolutely right. If you're an ASU football fan, yesterday's kind of a sad day, okay? Because Clay Helton was never going to take that program to the elite levels that it should be at. He was just never going to get there. It was obvious really from day one that he was just never going to get there. Now USC has a chance to reset the mechanism a little bit, start over, go get a big name guy. And now if it's the right big name guy, suddenly USC becomes a potential program to fear again, one that should dominate the Pac-12 South the way SC is kind of accustomed to dominating it.
Listen, it's always good when you've got that one powerhouse team in the program. I think it does help. I was looking at candidates, Luke Fickell, Cincy, Bob Stoops, Matt Campbell, the Iowa State coach. They lost a tough one again to Iowa. James Franklin, Penn State, Chris Peterson, the former Boise State coach, Kyle Whittingham, Urban Meyer. Like, there's a lot of names out there. So we'll see where they go. But they just decided after that Stanford debacle that, you know, Helton wasn't winning the games that he needed to win, so they got rid of him.
The most interesting name was the one you didn't say. Mario Cristobal.
I didn't say it. You know why? Because I got it right here. I didn't say it because I just don't see any way in the world that he's going to leave. I just don't. I mean, why would he leave Oregon to go to Ohio State?
USC.
I mean, USC. Why would he leave Oregon to go to USC?
Because USC is Alabama in the right hands, you know? And while Oregon has been the Pac-12's one of the premier programs for the last, what would you say, 20 years, 25 years, right? USC has been the Pac-12's premier program
forever.
You know, and there's just a legacy there to USC that as good as Oregon has been recently, and by recently, I'm talking about the last quarter of a century, so it's not a small period of time. USC has the kind of legacy that is reserved for the true giants of the game. Now, I don't think he's going to leave Oregon either. I saw John Wilner, our guy from the San Jose Mercury News. He's like, man, Mario Cristobal is not going to be a candidate for the job. Stop it. It's just not going to be him. The one that I think is interesting is Luke Fickell, the Cincinnati coach, just because Mike Bone used to be his athletic director at Cincinnati.
I think Matt Campbell.
Matt Campbell, he's done, and he might be looking around the Big 12 going,
sure,
man, get me the heck out of here. I don't want to be here.
So it's a good point. I like
conference.
Your point. Bad news for ASU. They're going to hire a quality coach.
Yeah.
And ASU's in an investigation right now. They haven't got off to a good, 2-0, but they haven't played well in their 2 games. They got BYU this week. I mean, a lot of their hopes could come crumbling down if they lose this game to BYU. But I understand what you're saying. Like, you know, you kind of worry about that when somebody makes a big hire in the conference that you're in. How does that affect you?
USC has been asleep at the wheel for way too long. And ASU Have they taken advantage of it the way they should? No, they haven't. If they get this hire right, USC is going to be very much awake again, and that's terrible news for ASU. Terrible news. Now, Paul Feinbaum from ESPN says if they get the wrong guy, it could bury the program.
I don't want to put any pressure on Mike Bone, but if he screws up this hire and he's got 3 months to make it, you might as well bury this program, because you can't keep doing this every couple of years. You can't keep making a mistake. You know, Lane Kiffin, he just wasn't mature enough. Sarkisian wasn't ready. Helton should have never been in the position.
Absolutely.
But if you go and you get another guy, and 3 years from now we're having the same conversation, then you're dead. I mean, nobody wants to go to your program. Wait.
I love this conversation. Okay, you think, you know, let me just turn it to the basketball. You know, did anybody really, like, sweat any bullets when UCLA hired Mick Cronin or USC hired Andy Enfield in basketball?
No.
Same thing when you look at Arizona. They lose Sean Miller and they come back with Tommy Lloyd. Do you think the other program's like, Tommy Lloyd? Okay, that's not so bad. Like, it's Arizona. Like, Arizona's a premier basketball program. Like, after what Lute Olson did, like, they hired Tom. So if you're UCLA or USC and Arizona gets Tommy Lloyd, it's like, okay. It's like, no, I don't know. Tommy Lloyd may end up doing a great job, but it's not that big name coach. Right. USC football will very likely hire a big, big name coach. Whether it means wins and losses, I don't know, but they're very likely going to get a big name guy.
Of all those names that you mentioned, all right, I'm going to rule out Cristobal like you. Urban Meyer, no way. He's not leaving the Jags. He just got there, for goodness sakes. Pete Carroll, he's already said no, he's not going to go.
God, how old's Pete Carroll?
He's in his 70s. He's in his early 70s.
No.
Bob Stoops is the one that just screams big name, screams big time Power Five, big time college football national championship experience. I have no idea what Bob Stoops is doing right now. I have no idea what keeps him busy every single day.
He's a TV analyst, isn't he?
I think so. Bob Stoops, if you're talking about big, oh my God, they just hired not Tommy Lloyd, not Mick Cronin, because I know the point you're trying to make there. If you're going for oh my God, they just hired fill in the blank, Bob Stoops is kind of that guy, isn't he?
Yes.
He's that guy that got my attention. I'm awake now. Bob Stoops is back in college football because he just dominated with Oklahoma for as many years as he did until the end.
It's
something to keep an eye on.
Yep, and he hasn't been away from the game that long.
Right, right.
Where he doesn't resonate with kids and families.
When we come back, oh, by the way, Lupe Gloria is the return of the Red Sea winner today. Congratulations. We appreciate calling in. Text Red Sea to 620-620. The Arizona Cardinals, high expectations coming off their week one win. What is expected out of their week two opponent? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.